This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Martin. For many of us fortunate enough to be able to do our jobs without going into an office, remote work has been a blessing and a curse. And even as states start to lift stay-at-home orders, some companies are saying that work from home is here to stay. But many frontline workers in grocery stores, hospitals, and transit don't have that luxury. Companies big and small are now reevaluating office layouts and remote management. To help answer listener questions about the future of work, we've called Jason Wingard on. He is the Dean of Columbia University School of Professional Studies. Professor Wingard, thanks so much for joining us.
Michelle, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we've been hearing from a lot of people, and I do want to say, this is accurate, not editorializing, this is accurate, mostly without children, who say that they're actually more productive working from home. And Mike in Minneapolis has a question about that.
Okay. What are companies planning to do to balance those employees that have proven to be as, if not more, productive at home versus those that need an in-office work environment?
So first of all, Professor,
Mike,
have you been hearing that too? That people say
Yeah. Absolutely. Mike, that's a good question from Michael. There will be a point in the future when companies ask employees to come back to the office. Boards and CEOs, right now, they're asking themselves, what if employees don't physically want to come back? Then what do we do? So in this era of what I am calling the new professionalism, which was brought on by COVID-19, I advise employers to practice empathy in determining each worker's situation. So that means if an employee is productive while working from home, and if they're reluctant to return to the office, then managers should consider granting that employee their wish to remain home-based. Now, various factors may impact that decision, factors like job function. Do they have the type of job that allows them to work remotely, or personal situation? Are they caring for children or sick family members? And then there's anxiety level. Do they have a paralyzing fear of being infected that keeps them from being productive? All of these factors need to be considered. And the reason I advise is because talent is a firm's most valuable asset, and it's in their best interest to take care of that talent, which is their employees. So research shows us that allowing employees flexibility will result in greater returns on productivity than, say, towing the hard line and not being sensitive to extenuating circumstance. So in summary, flexibility creates loyalty, and we all know loyalty is good for business.
Just briefly, just a brief follow-up here. Does it create feelings of people who, for whatever reason, have to work in the office and other people don't? I mean, does it create any kind of morale friction there? Have you observed that in your research?
Yeah, terms there is animosity. So, you know, even before the crisis, even in other circumstances, employees feel like there is a lack of fairness at times. So if somebody is allowed to work at home or if somebody doesn't have children, that they are unfairly being given opportunities that they themselves don't have.
Some states have already reopened what had been deemed non-essential businesses. And we have a question from Angel in South Carolina, who's wondering how companies can keep their employees safe.
I work for a smallish nonprofit, about 23 to 30 employees on any given day, and we have been working remotely since the start of the pandemic. Now that the governor of South Carolina has started to open the state back up, we're preparing to bring our employees back into our office. What are best practices, and what is everyone else doing?
Dean, I bet you could do a whole program about this, but as briefly as you can, what do you say?
Angel, the way in which companies are bringing back employees is really dependent on two things, location and function. So generally speaking, most firms are taking a thoughtful approach to decision-making by aligning with government and health organization recommendations. So the leaders of these organizations, the companies, they've had several months now to devise strategies that best suit their workforce and their stakeholders. So the solutions are more sophisticated than they might otherwise be. So for example, I've spoken with some CEOs who've decided to bring their workers back in phases. The first to return to the office will be the employees most needing to be on site, the proverbial essential workers. And then I've also spoken with CEOs about flex schedules. So flex schedules are where separate groups of workers report to the office on different days, and that's to minimize exposure to each other. So obviously, once employees are on the site, wherever they arrive, however they get there, whatever the phased approach is, the workspaces need to be altered to ensure physical distancing is being practiced.
I have a question here about school closures. Here it is.
Hi, my name is Jackie Werkinger, and I live in Havre de Grace, Maryland. And my question is, if in the U.S. students do not go back to public school, how will parents, especially single parents, be able to go back to work?
Dean, what about that? And especially given the fact that, you know, some, first of all, a lot of people who are working at home while parenting and trying to educate their kids, that's exhausting. But then some people, you know, service workers, and as we've just, as I think everyone knows, some people have not been able to work at home at all and have been scrambling. So what about that?
Michelle, this is a great question, and I actually have to deal with this problem myself, having kids at home and trying to work. I've seen both sides of the work-at-home experience, so both as an advisor to managers, but also as a manager myself. Some workers have actually had a pleasant experience, and they will actually need to be lured back to the physical office when and if the time comes. But on the flip side, I've seen workers who have encountered significant challenges trying to work in the crisis, like Jackie. She's trying to balance the strains of parenting. Others don't have suitable workspace. Some workers are experiencing mental health issues related to the crisis, such as anxiety and depression. So for your listeners out there in tune with these dilemmas, firms will absolutely need to raise the employee comfort level before they return to work. Confusion breeds chaos, and then when chaos ensues, nothing gets done. Managers are going to need to clearly communicate the actions they've taken to make sure that everyone knows that the provisions taken to establish a clean and healthy workplace have been executed. So whether it be taking workers' temperatures each day or sharing new office design plans that space people apart or having plexiglass dividers, they're going to need to illustrate steps taken to ensure their safety.
And this last question here, I think this is all we have time for, is about the 5-day work week. The once and perhaps future presidential candidate Andrew Yang just tweeted, quote, he tweeted this week. He said, "We should seriously look at a 4-day work week. Studies show we would be just as productive. It would create jobs at the margins and improve mental health." What do you say?
Well, that sounds nice, and I can see the allure of Andrew Yang's proposal, but I don't think such a shift is likely in the short term in the United States. Although we are seeing high levels of disruption in the professional space, and some are due to COVID-19, there are traditional work practices, including the 40-hour work week, that will just be difficult to revamp. As more nations begin to implement a 4-day work week, Finland, for example, is leading the charge in this area, the risk-averse companies and employers here in the United States, they're going to take a wait-and-see approach. Okay. So will productivity levels rise or will they fall? We will be watching the Finlands and other nations going in that direction to help inform the decisions in this country. So once a firm opts for a 4-day work week, it'll be very difficult to regress back to Monday through Friday.
And no pajamas in the office, probably. Probably never that. All right.
Probably never.
Jason Wingard is the Dean of Columbia University's School of Professional Studies. Dean Wingard, thanks so much for joining us on The National Conversation from All Things Considered and NPR News.